In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There podcast. Me and Dustin have once again joined alliances to discuss the newly released 2024 I Saw the TV Glow, a recent A24 movie. I don't know if you've been following us along social media, but Dustin has gone on the trek to watch every single A24 movie, not just horror. So he texted me yesterday on Friday, the 24th, saying he was going to go see it. So I was like, fuck it, I'll go see it too, and we can do a reaction. So here we are. Dustin, before we get into this movie, do you just want to talk about your A24 trek, and then you can just touch on your general thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so I started this journey a couple months ago, not even in January. Like, it was literally just a couple months ago. Was it March, maybe? And so far, well, going into that, I'd watched 10 A24 movies in my life. Now I'm up to 101. So I've watched quite a few A24 movies over the past, I think it was February actually when I started this. So over the past like 3 months, and this one, I Saw the TV Glow, was number 99. So I watched two more last night after I got home from the theater. But yeah, man, you know, I don't know about this movie. It's got its pros and its cons to me. I think it looks good. It's a good looking movie. And we'll get into a little bit more once we do the actual positives and negatives. But overall, I'm not sure. I don't think that I liked it very much, but that's not to say it was a bad movie.
I echo everything you just said in that last sentence. It was a very good-looking movie, but it's definitely not for me. I just didn't relate to it, like, and that's okay. I feel like this movie was made for a certain demographic, and I don't think I'm a part of that demographic, and that's fine. But yeah, I really don't have much else to say until let's just jump into our positives. I think you said it already, but the movie does look beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful imagery, colors, nature shots. I think the acting was fine as well, and not just the nature shots, like a lot of good camera work. Really good looking movie. Young Owen, Ian Foreman, I thought did a great job. Bridget Lundy Payne, I thought she did a great job as well. Justin Smith, he was fine. But this movie was just, I don't even know if it, I hate to sound like Dustin right now, but is this even a horror movie? I guess it can be for like, I guess if you're going from like a discovering who you are kind of, like, well, discovering who you are, like, kind of thing, but like genuine horror movie, like, I don't know, like, it's labeled that, but I don't know, man.
Well, I think it could it's more of like a young adult horror, like, reminded me of Are You Afraid of the Dark and stuff like that, and the old Goosebumps TV show, like the Pink Opaque, when they would show glimpses of it was horror for sure. But like, yeah, what was happening in the quote-unquote real world, and I'm gonna say that for a reason, the quote-unquote real world, nah, there's not much horror to it. Other than, like you said, just the horror of feeling like you're trapped in a body that's not right for you.
Yeah. What are your positives, Dustin? Because this is probably bad reaction talk, but I'm really kind of at a loss for words of what to say.
Okay. I got a few. Biggest positive ever, the biggest compliment that I can give a movie, it's original content. I love that. Like, yep. You know, I've been saying, I said it multiple times in the past week on this show, like, originality is something that I'm always going to commend. I think they captured the era of the 90s pretty well, so good on them for that. The look of the Pink Opaque on TV looked great, like when they would show clips of the show. 10 out of 10. It looked like a 90s show. Side notes, crazy that we used to watch TV like that. No wonder why so many of us need glasses or contacts these days. Like, that's crazy how poor quality it was compared to, you know, high def. We did get some great shots. The cinematography was on point, as is the case most of the time with A24. One example was the ice cream truck with the pink smoke coming out of it. Like, it was just an awesome looking shot. Mm-hmm. I did like Owen breaking the fourth wall and talking to us directly, because I could have easily just done a narrator voice and, you know, but having him actually talk to us, for some reason, it worked for me. I like that. I really like the graphics on the screen. Like, when, after he started watching the tapes, I thought the graphics looked like it was very unique and it looked cool. And the colors went hand in hand with the color themes throughout the movie, which I also loved. So that's a huge positive as well. I think visually it's a very well-made movie visually. And then another positive, Fred fucking Durst is in it, man. I mean, it's just one of those days. I was a big Limp Bizkit fan back in the day, so it was cool. Like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't recognize him. He had like two lines in the movie. I didn't realize which one he actually was until I went back and looked, because he plays Owen's dad, but I don't think we ever heard Owen's dad's name be called. And in the credits, it's listed as Fred Durst, Frank. It's like, who the hell was Frank? And so I had to look that up, who that was. But still, it's cool that Owen or Fred Durst was in there. And so were the two brothers from one of my favorite childhood shows, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Like, Pete and Pete were in this movie, and I thought that was really cool. Something that, let me get the name right. Let me look it up. The director, the writer. Okay. Jane Schoenbrunn. Something that was cool from Jane was all the people, familiar faces from the 90s that are in this. You know, Fred Durst, the kids from Pete and Pete, being all grown up now, of course. It was done to kind of show how, like, these faces are haunting the characters. It's not really just the nostalgia. It's these characters are haunting them all these years later, or haunting us all these years later. So I thought that was kind of a cool take as well. You know, going back to the original concept, once I've realized what's going on, you know, once Maddie is telling Owen what's going on, it's like, oh, okay, so they're not really here. They're being kept somewhere, and it's like they're plugged in to, like, the LGBT matrix, or the gatrix, if you will. And I was like, that's an original concept. That's kind of cool, because it's a cool spin on that. So that was kind of cool as well.
I can't lie. You made a good point that I've forgotten about. The feel of the 90s was really strong. Like, whenever, like, I got my first, like, oh shit moment was whenever they sat by that vending machine, it was Fruitopia. Like, bro, I haven't had a Fruitopia in so long.
Yeah.
I mean, Fruitopia went crazy back in the day, too.
Yeah, it did.
But I agree 100% with that. Fred Durst, I didn't recognize Fred Durst either until I saw in the credits on the screen, Fred Durst was like, oh shit, he did it all for the Nookie guys in here.
I've looked up the cast several times before I actually got to the theater, because once I saw this movie's coming out, I was trying to find it, and I didn't think it was going to be showing in Knoxville. And then I found it. It was showing at one of the theaters I frequently that plays a lot of the A24 movies. And so I was very familiar with a lot of the names in this movie, because I looked at the cast several times. So I go into it looking for Fred Durst, and I still was like, where the hell was Fred Durst? And it wasn't until after the movie I realized it. So, oh well.
Yeah, man. That was cool. That was a cool Easter egg for sure. You got any more positives before you just jump into our negatives of the film?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Negatives. I thought the movie was kind of boring and kind of aggravating as well, too. And I wasn't not personally a fan of, like, them breaking the fourth wall and talking, like, right at us, because it just didn't make any sense to me. But, like, that one scene where, like, at the club or whatever, and that one lady is singing, like, that hard rock, and it went for, like, 2 minutes straight. I'm like, God, this song is aggravating as fuck. Like, can you shut up and just move on from this? And then at the end, when Maddie is giving her spill, like, that long soliloquy about the show, like, I couldn't keep up with what she was saying. Like, I forgot everything she was saying, because I just kind of didn't relate to anything going on. Like, I just got confused, and the whole storyline is confusing to me. And me and you were kind of talking about this off the air, but the movie has a message, but I feel like there's so much going on that I missed the message. And it's got to be target audience specific who can relate to it, but it went way over my head. And I hate to admit that as a simpleton, I guess.
So, my negatives. First of all, it's a little hard to believe to me that a freshman would just strike up such a friendship with a seventh grader. I just didn't buy how instantly they bonded, especially considering how they met. Like, he said, "Hey, awesome book. It's the best. It's about the show." She said, "You watch it?" He said, "No." What? I was so thrown off by that. I kept thinking he was going to come back and say, "No, I don't watch it. I love it," or, you know, something like that. But he knew that it was about the show, complimented how awesome the book was. And she said, "You watch it?" He said, "No." Okay. And then I mentioned this to you before we started recording. What kind of freshman in high school lays on his mommy's lap in the car on the way home? The fuck was that? And, you know, this is 2 years after they met. We flash forward 2 years, and so now he's laying on his mommy's lap in the back of the car. And then, what kind of teenager has a 10:15 bedtime on a Saturday? That's insane. That's some strict parents in there. But that's not necessarily a negative. That was just like, damn, those parents are strict. Something that stood out to me like a sore thumb. Owen went to the drive-thru. He got 2 double cheeseburgers, a small fry, and a root beer. The year, if you do the math 8 years later, we're in 2006. It cost over $11. I'm not buying that. Nope. No, that's too much. That's too much. I graduated high school in 2006, so I remember the good prices of 2006. $11, that's not era accurate.
You could have got 6 cheeseburgers, 2 fries. Right.
The next one I put, the fuck was the point of that impromptu concert when Maddie showed back up? Went on way too long. But wait, folks, there's a second one. We don't just get one song. We get a little bit of conversation, then another fucking song. That was just too long for me. Like you said, most of the time in movies, when we have scenes where they go to a bar or they go to a setting like this and there's a band playing, they'll show them for a couple seconds. I feel like we got both of these songs in their entirety, and it's just way too much.
Yeah, it's filler.
Yeah, it's filler. And then, which is crazy because the movie was like, what, 1 hour and 34 minutes or something like that? So you could have taken both those songs out and still probably been close to 1.5 hours, which is a fine runtime. You didn't need the filler. The last negative I have is that I'm all for weird. Like on this A24 journey I've been through, like I said, I've watched 101 of these things now. A lot of them are weird. I'm all for it. But the third act lost me in this one. Mm-hmm. What the hell was that? What was that ending? What was any of that supposed to be? Like the ending specifically, because he goes, you know, he's in front of the mirror. He rips his chest. Spoiler. I guess we didn't preface this by saying possible spoilers in this, but he rips his chest open. We see TV glowing coming from inside him. Not to mention the fact that he aged like 40 years in this last scene. Mm-hmm. And he looked like Billy Dee Williams if there was something wrong with him, he looked like Billy Dee Williams. I know you know who that is, Nico. But then he just starts walking back through the fun center. Sorry about that. And no one's acknowledging him.
Annoying.
And then it just, I went, when the movie ended, so the screen goes black for a couple seconds. I thought something else was going to happen because it did that earlier in the movie. Like there was a couple other scenes that would seem would end, and we get a couple seconds of darkness, you know, black on the screen. So I thought, okay, they're gonna tie this up. And then the credits start rolling. I audibly go, "What the fuck was that?" in the theater. I audibly said, I was the only one in there. I counted the seats before the movie started. There's 99 seats in the theater. I was saying I was the only one. So I could say what I wanted to. But I was so disappointed because the first half of this movie really had me. The messages that are in this movie, I can get on board with. That's fine. But you just went too over the top in the third act and lost me.
Yeah, I agree. And as I was walking out, there were 2 girls in front of me, and they were both saying, he's a good actor, but he picks bad movies. Like, that's what they said. Like, they both said that they, like, I was just listening to their conversation. They said they didn't like it. They didn't understand what was going on. And these two young ladies were complete polar opposites of 33-year-old Asian male. So, I mean, like, it fits more than just my stereotype, I guess. But another thing that annoyed me was, like, all the time jumps. Like, it went like 2 years, then it went like 4 years, then 10 years. I couldn't keep up. Was that 10 years from the original little kid? Was it 20 years from the last 10 years? I was like, what time are we in right now? Because I don't even remember.
That's a good point. I took it because it said, 8 years later, I took it from that 2 years. And so 10 years from the, that's a good point though. I don't know.
Because, like, at the end, whenever you're talking about the guy, Owen aging, like, that was, what, 20 years later? Was that 20 years from little Owen, or was that 20 years from the last 10-year jump? I don't know. It confused the shit out of me.
That's a good point.
But then again, maybe I'm a simpleton. This one went extra A24 on me.
Yeah.
Because I fucked with the lighthouse.
This one was almost, what was the Under the Skin? This was almost like Under the Skin levels of weird. Or
I haven't seen that one yet.
Or Under the Silver Lake. Either one of those were weird movies. It's not quite as weird as The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I know you've seen.
Anyway. That one was a weird one.
That was, I know, weird, you're a
big fan
reasons.
Of Yorgos. I know you're a big Yorgos fan.
Yorgos Lanthimos is a fucking maniac. But anyway, You got some final thoughts on it, or?
Yeah, my final thoughts just don't know what the fuck was going on. Like, it just didn't. Okay. Like, Chris Tuckman said it best, this movie's going to hit perfectly for some people, and it's going to completely whiff for some people, and it whiffed for me. It's kind of one of those things that you've talked about a lot, not wanting to watch trailers because they're kind of deceiving, and if you look at the IMDb synopsis, I got it pulled up, I'll just read it real quick. Two teenagers bond over their love of a supernatural TV show, but it is mysteriously canceled. That's a synopsis. A hell of a lot more than that happens. And,
if you watch
the trailer, you kind of led to believe you're going to see like this weird thing with this TV show, but it dives into way deeper topics. And I don't know. It was just, trailer was misleading, and it does that a lot these days. What's your final thoughts, Dustin?
They definitely made it seem like when she drew the show logo on the back of his neck, like, I thought that was going to come alive and start controlling him or something, but like, that was, Okay. So my final thoughts, I get the message about nostalgia and how things don't hold up over time. I think that's a very clear message in the movie, is it's best not to linger on the past. You got to move forward. I also appreciate the message about not feeling comfortable in one's own skin. That's the main theme of the movie. I also get the detachment from life aspect. You know, sometimes it feels like life is passing us by and we've lost any control of our own lives. We're just an NPC in the world. But I feel like the movie tried too hard to be a metaphor and be symbolic instead of conveying any true message. And, you know, there is a fine line. You can be this over-the-top metaphor and work, but I just think that they went too far and lost sight of what they were trying to do. So my Letterboxd rating, I gave this one 2 stars out of 5. The 2 stars for me were because of how visually stunning the movie looks and the acting was good. And the first, you know, like I said, the first 2/3 of it were really good. It's just that last act really lost me.
I would agree. Like, at least the first 45 minutes, it was slow, but I was invested. If I would have rated on I didn't write a Letterboxd rating yet. I would probably be in that 1.52 range as well. And it's not to just shit on the movie, but it just wasn't for me and I didn't understand it. And would I ever want to rewatch it again? No, like, I really don't want to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll pick it next time you can. Because I just know how you are.
Just to make Brian's head explode.
It's like, oh, you don't like that one. Huh? Let's watch that one. But yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. Like, it was well made, acted, like, it looked great, but it wasn't entertaining for me.
Yeah. Yep, I get that.
And that's my final thoughts, man. You got any final thoughts? Is that it?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I'll say, leave you with this. Go to the theater, support movies. Even if they're bad, still go. Still go. It's fun to get out of the house.
Yeah, it is fun to get out of the house. We appreciate y'all tuning in. If you got any comments on this movie, leave them below. We would love to hear your thoughts, your interpretation, because there is a lot open for sure. And I just missed it. But that's okay. Some movies are a little, can be harder to, it's like Chris Tucker made a good point. And I'll end it on this. You can have 100 people in a museum looking at a piece of art and they all get a different message from it. And that's how I think this movie is as well. It's not cut and dry like a Friday the 13th. And that's not shaming it. It's just, you know what that movie is. This one's a lot deeper. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Leave your comments and your thoughts below on any social media and on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. Just want to remind everybody.